Now, as I've promised these last few mornings, Executive Director, or rather Executive Director now Emeritus, Dan Gustin from the Gilmore Keyboard Festival is joining me here this morning to talk about recent events, very exciting events happening at the Gilmore Festival. Most pressingly, the announcement of the new Gilmore artist, Igor Levitt, and also in the studio, marketing and PR director, Curtis Cunningham, also new to the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. Thank you for joining me, Dan and Curtis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, as I just explained, there's been some changes at the Gilmore Festival. This new Gilmore artist being one, the Spring Festival also being announced as your last as executive director. Could you fill us in a bit?
Well, yes, I'm officially director emeritus as of, I think, last week. But I will remain with the organization through the festival, which I've planned with my colleagues. And we're very, very, very happy to have a new director, Pierre van der Westhuizen. And he actually arrived in Kalamazoo yesterday with his family, and the moving truck was expected today. So he is here, and we will work together in the next few months. And then I will officially retire in June.
You joined the festival in 2000.
Yes.
Which means you have overseen the selection of how many Gilmore artists at this point?
Five.
What have they all these processes had in common, and what makes them a little different from each other?
Well, they were all different in that each of the artists that we've chosen, beginning with Piotr Andruszewski, and then Ingrid Fleeter, Kirill Gerstein, Raphael Blechacz, and now Igor Levitt, they're all different. they share the quality of being an outstanding artist and a probing, thoughtful performer, and someone whom we felt was worthy of the distinction of the Gilmore Artist Award. I appoint five individuals from the international music scene to work with me anonymously and quietly behind the scenes for 2 to 3 years, examining candidates for the award, which is given every 4 years.
Are they the same individuals every time?
No, we change them. Mm-hmm. I change them.
And you rope them in, as it were, a few years before the announcement of the award.
That's correct. We are beginning the process now of starting to work on what will be the 2022 Gilmore Artist Award recipient. And so we will appoint, I mean, it will be Pierre's responsibility to appoint the next committee. These are volunteers from the music world who work with us. We share a website where we compare notes and performances of various artists, and we travel all over the world to hear them.
Yeah. You must start off with more candidates and then narrow it down to a few.
Oh, yes, yes.
At what point have you ever completely stalled out and thought these
we've never stalled out? And interesting, Kara, we've never actually taken a vote. We in my experience, at least the last five candidates, we've always come to a consensus and as to who the most outstanding and the most worthy pianist is for the award.
Do considerations such as marketability and gender or race or things like that come into this?
No, not at all. And nationality, age, nothing of that sort. It's an award that's based on pure artistry, and artistry as demonstrated not in one performance here or there, but in a number of different performances in different venues before different audiences, different repertoire, over a period of time. And that coupled with the potential that we perceive the various candidates to have in terms of having a major career as a major performing artist and making a real impact on music in the future. And Igor is, I'm proud to say, I think is going to be someone in that line, very much so.
Well, let's talk about Igor Levin. I was very impressed and drawn in by what I read in a wonderful Times article, New York Times article on Igor that gave a lot of information about his life history, and I would recommend it to listeners who wanted to follow up there. But there's also links at the website, thegilmore.org. Is that right, Curtis?
That's correct. Yep.
And your Facebook page.
Yep. If you want to
offer,
if you want to watch the rewatch the live stream that is available on our Facebook page, it's a good hour and a half of interviews and actual performance.
Yeah, tell us about that. That was last Thursday?
That was last Thursday night. It was at the Green Space in New York City. They were under 8 inches of snow at the time, but we were able to get everybody there to basically kind of meet the artist. The announcement, it came a day before, but the official, I guess, on-camera announcement with meeting Igor was on Thursday night, and a chance for Fred Childs to interview him. For people to get to know him and also get to see him play.
Listeners all know Fred Child, and he did a wonderful job in not only talking to Igor Levit and teasing out some interesting facts about Igor's life, but also to bring Dan Gustin himself and Pierre van der Westhuizen to the stage and have them sort of help present this new artist as well. It's really, it was fun to watch at the time. And of course, Igor performed three works.
Yes, he sure did.
Starting with one that only included one hand.
That's right.
So that link is where again?
That would be at our Facebook page, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival Facebook page. It's also available on our website at thegilmore.org.
Well, one of the things Igor said about learning he had become the new Gilmore artist. He told the story of how it happened. This was in London, right? He finished a recital at Wigmore Hall.
Yes, all Beethoven sonatas.
He went back
I'll never forget it.
He went to his room and got a call.
Well, he was actually in a taxi somewhere in London when we reached him, because we knew that he was likely to be chosen. He was certainly one of the most promising finalists, if you wouldn't want to call them that, for the award. But the entire five-member committee was all there at the Wigmore at the time, and we were just floored by the performance. And we got back to our hotel and went into the hotel lounge. And we all looked at one another and said, well, that's it. So one of our members had Igor's cell phone, knew him. He was a member from Europe, and called him up and said, come on over to the so-and-so lounge. So he did. It was quite a memorable occasion.
He did just to meet his friend.
He didn't really know. Friend sort of insisted that he come. It was quite late. It was 11:30 at night, I think, at that point, maybe even later. And he was quite mystified, but he did come.
He said on the presentation, he said it felt like the Truman Show. He realized he was there and had been observed all this time.
Yeah.
He has quite a sense of humor in person, I
yes,
thought.
Yes, very wry, dry sense of humor, which is lovely, I think.
He gave Fred Child a little bit of a ribbing here and there.
Yes,
which
he did.
I thought was pretty funny. Let's take a quick break. Since you mentioned Beethoven, Mr. Levit has recorded several releases for Sony Classical and one that I think got him Recording of the Year from Gramophone Records was a set of variations. And three sets of variations, the Goldbergs, one by Frederick Shevsky, and this one, the Beethoven Diabelli variations. We'll take a musical break and hear Igor Levit with some Beethoven. My guests are Executive Director Emeritus Dan Gustin and Curtis Cunningham of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Here's Igor Levit. We're interrupting a set of variations.
Ouch.
By Beethoven's Diabelli variations, to be exact. Igor Levit is the pianist in that Sony Classical recording. And if you didn't already know, Mr. Levit was announced as the new Gilmore artist last Wednesday. And here in the studio with me are Director Emeritus Dan Gustin and Marketing and PR Director Curtis Cunningham from the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, which is set to begin April 25th here in Kalamazoo in downtown, and many different venues that spread to Grand Rapids and Battle Creek and Lansing on some festivals. So you can anticipate all of that with a visit to thegilmore.org. Dan, I was just refreshing myself on the New York Times article, and I thought I would share some of the biographical details.
Please.
On Mr. Levit. It says he was born in 1987. Mm-hmm. So
he's 30. Just turned 30.
Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
Yes.
I'd have to look it up on a map.
Well, it's notable, at least in musical circles, because it's also the birthplace of Daniel Trifonov, one of the great younger generation pianists
Another
of our time.
Stunning talent.
Who will be at the festival, by the way.
Well, what do you know? Maybe we should have a sister city relationship with Novgorod now. But his family left Russia and moved to Germany when he was 8 years old. I understand his mother's a serious classical pianist.
That's correct.
Teaching now at
Hanover.
In Hanover. Mm-hmm. So his family stays based there, but he moved to, is it Berlin?
Yes, he now lives in Berlin.
Which is a good base for a concert
yes.
artist to be working from.
Yes, yeah. It is.
He is said to have not been shy, even as a teenager. This is when he reached out to an at the time nearly 80-year-old composer and said, would you write a piece for me? Would you tell us a little more about that?
Shy, he's not. Ambitious in all very good ways, I think, musically speaking. Yes, he went. He found some of the works of Frederick Shevsky, is an American composer who now lives in Brussels, in the library when he was a student, and he was very much taken with them, and so he tracked Mr. Shevsky down. He's an irascible old coot, but a wonderful composer. And
I know, and I interviewed him once.
It
didn't go well.
he doesn't take well to, but he's a wonderful composer, and ultimately, I wouldn't call him a nice man, but he's a very remarkable and memorable figure. He was here at the Gilmore, I think, in 2006 or something like that. He came and he actually played, and we did some of his work. Anyway, Shevsky never heard of this young Levit character who was still a student. He said, well, let me say what you mean. And, you know, they sort of are. And they met, and they hit it off big time. And And now Igor has played several of his pieces, including the major work that is that he recorded with the Diabelli Variations and the Goldberg Variations on the recording that you just played. And he did write Igor a piece for solo piano. So I think Igor's interest in important composers of our time will continue, and I'm sure that he will be commissioning other new works. And one of the pieces I can tell you, one of the composers rather that I can tell you that is that interests him is William Bolcom. Bill turns 80 this year. Mm. He's longtime resident of Ann Arbor and affiliated with the University of Michigan, and one of the important American composers. He's going to write a piece for Igor.
When I watched the presentation last Thursday, which was streamed live from New York, it was the modern piece, the Shevsky piece that he played, that really stood out in its ability, his ability to communicate the intensity of it, the sort of modernness of it. And that bodes really well for the future of music, classical music in the concert hall, when you have artists with conviction playing music that most of us haven't been familiar with. And that seems really promising. Curtis, you mentioned again that there are links to that presentation on the Facebook page?
Yep, through the Gilmour Keyboard Festival Facebook page and also on our website at thegilmour.org.
And there are two concerts scheduled with Igor.
Yep, we have him at his debut as the Gilmour artist is going to be at Stetson Chapel at Kalamazoo College on May 9th. It's a 2 o'clock performance.
So the Goldberg Variations.
And he'll be doing the Goldberg Variations. So it's going to be a beautiful piece for a beautiful setting. It's going to be 75 degrees and sunny that day as well. So he's also going to be closing out our festival on Saturday, May 12th, with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And we're bringing back Raymond Harvey as well. So it's going to be a glorious night.
Are those tickets available now?
Those tickets will be available at midnight on Friday night, this Friday night, or Saturday morning, depending on how you look at it. They'll be available online. Our box office will also be open on Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. if you want to come in live.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Curtis.
And by the way, Igor is playing the Beethoven Fourth Piano Concerto with the KSO, so that it will be quite an occasion. And Bolcom, since we mentioned his name, Raymond has chosen along with us to perform Bolcom's first symphony, which he wrote just after he finished his studies, as a salute to that composer on that program and his 80th birthday.
Wonderful. Dan, would you talk about the importance of Beethoven in Igor's career and musical development?
Well, I think it already is very, very important because he's done in Europe, he's done a complete series of all of the Beethoven piano sonatas and, of course, the Diabelli Variations and some other solo piano works at the Wigmore Hall. So, I mean, he's already done the complete cycle of them, and I think he recorded early on in his career, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, he recorded three of the late, very late, and most wonderful sonatas of Beethoven. And that will, I'm certain that that's always going to remain central, that composer, to his repertoire. But if you look at his recordings, I mean, we mentioned that he's going to be performing the Goldberg Variations here, you know, the great work of Johann Sebastian Bach in the 18th century, and then Beethoven in the 19th century. And he's also, as we were just speaking, I mean, he's championed many 20th century and now 21st century composers as well. So his repertoire and his interests, his musical interests are quite broad.
Another thing that stood out to me during the presentation was when Fred Child asked him a fairly typical question that you would ask an artist, and that is, what are you thinking about or what do you visualize when you are in the midst of playing a piece and performing? His answer was different than one I've ever heard.
I was astonished. I never had no idea.
Tell us what he said?
Well, basically he said, I think of people, of my acquaintances or people that are meaningful to me or not meaningful to me, I don't know, or you know, but he says as he's performing, as his fingers are working over the keyboard, that what comes to his mind is people that he knows.
Yeah, loved
people
ones.
That he has a relationship with.
He's almost reliving relationships.
It seems, yes.
Yeah. If I ever had him on the microphone, I would follow up on that question. My goodness. That stood out to me, certainly. And I also got the sense that his inner life was much more than practicing and technique. Like he maybe gone beyond the mechanics of it quite a ways to simply thinking about music and thinking of it more as a language that you speak or sing than a set of challenges to be overcome as a keyboardist.
Yes. I mean, in terms of purely technical challenges, I mean, he can play anything. He can do anything, just about.
And that's been true for him for a long time.
I've been following him for 3-4 years now. I would say yes, if that, you know, in the career of a 30-year-old piano artist, that's a long time.
He also mentioned or dropped the name of Ferruccio Busoni quite a lot. And many of us aren't that familiar with Busoni. Why is he important to Igor Levit and maybe other pianists as well?
I think that Igor feels you'd have to ask him, of course. But from what I understand from him, is that he feels that his piano, that Busoni's piano works, are undervalued, and are not performed as much as they should be. That they are remarkable works in and of themselves. Also, he recognizes Busoni's influence on the music of the 20th century, and which was, you know, quite important. We'll have to see what he brings forth in the coming years.
I'm going to have to look up some of Busoni's books because it sounds like he was just as much a philosopher on music as...
Philosopher of music and a theoretician of music, and he was apparently an incredible teacher and influenced many other pianists of his time.
Well, we've touched on just a few things about the new Gilmore artist, Igor Levit, who was announced as the 2018 Award winner last week. My guests here today are Curtis Cunningham and Dan Gustin of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, which begins this spring on April 25th and continues through May 12th. Tickets will be finally on sale to the public through the website Friday at midnight or Saturday day for most of us.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Curtis? Are there any events in the meantime this spring that are still on the books?
We're gearing up to a 18-19 days of constant concert giving, and we'll need all of that to prepare all of our volunteers and contractual arrangements and piano technicians, and we bring 18-20 pianos here to Kalamazoo for the festival. So we're working on that.
We're going to take a break with more music now and come back and talk about more than just Igor Levitt's performances, but some of the other highlights of the festival here with Dan Gustin and Curtis Cunningham of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Let's hear Mr. Levitt and music of Frederick Shefsky. This is the opening of the variation set, The People United Shall Never Be Divided. We are listening to music of Frederick Shefsky, performed by Igor Levitt. He's the new Gilmore artist, just announced last week, appearing this spring in the Gilmore Keyboard Festival here in Kalamazoo. Still with me this hour are Director Emeritus Dan Gustin and Marketing Director Curtis Cunningham. And now we will open up our discussion to reveal some of the exciting concerts coming your way this spring. All tickets will be on sale to the general public Friday night at midnight or during the day Saturday for those who aren't going to stay up. There's a mix, let's say. We were trying to generalize here. Predominantly classical artists. Maybe we could start there, Dan.
I think it's a mixture of classical and jazz with a little classical music, I think, predominating. But people think of it as piano recitals, and there are a goodly number of piano recitals, but we have all kinds of other music that's, I think, going to make the festival quite special. I'm particularly proud of what I'm calling the opening weekend trifecta, which is we'll present three of the world's greatest pianists, Murray Pariah, Daniel Trifonov, and our own Leif Ove Andsnes, our 1998 Gilmore Artist Award recipient. So that's how we're starting out and going on from there.
Any other concerts that?
Well, for example, we have six different concerts with orchestras during the festival. We have duo piano recitals. We have some early music in the form of an instrument from Bach's time that will be performed. And
yeah, that's the Lautenwerk.
The Lautenwerk, yes.
Concert, a lute/keyboard.
Yes, yeah. it's a fascinating instrument. Bach actually owned three of them, and he wrote some pieces specifically for them. And none of them have survived, so this is a reconstructed Lautenwerk. But it'll be interesting to hear some of the Bach works on them. And then we have this fabulous accordionist. I mean, after all, accordion has a keyboard.
What?
So we're a keyboard festival. Julian Labro, who plays all different variations of the accordion, the bandoneon, the instrument that's used in
the bayan. That's the Russian with
the bayan. Yes,
with about a billion buttons on it.
Yeah. So that will be fun.
He can do everything. He's done hot gypsy jazz,
yes, yeah,
to classical.
Yes, and he commissions new pieces for it. It's going to be a fascinating recital. And
he's also part of our opening night, too, which is going to be on April 25th. He'll be performing as well as Ingrid Fleeter, 2006 Gilmore artist. She'll be there as well. So,
when you mentioned Leif Ove Andsnes, I seem to remember that he was unable to appear, was it 4 years ago, because of the birth of twins.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Understandably. Right? So yes. Now he's a family happy family man. And
yes. Well, he's doing fewer concerts. So we're now because he has because of the demands of his family. But we're very proud to have him. And his program is especially interesting in that he's doing some of the works of Sibelius, some for piano, that are not performed that often, but beautiful, beautiful pieces. You know, we think of Sibelius as orchestra music, and primarily, there's some beautiful piano music that he's bringing, and, along with some other things, of course.
And notably, he's also spent the last few years recording the Beethoven concertos.
Yes, he has.
An orchestra he conducts.
That's correct.
The Mahler Chamber Orchestra. Yeah. So he hasn't gone underground by any means, but it'll be really nice to have him in North America for a performance here in Kalamazoo.
Yeah. And the festival will also celebrate some anniversaries. Most notably, I think the 90th birthday of the great Leon Fleischer, who will actually be here to perform for us, the Mozart piano concerto with a chamber orchestra. And two of his students also performing on that program, that orchestra program. And we always have a vocalist, singer. We're very proud. We were able to get Lawrence Brownlee, one of the stars from the Metropolitan Opera, bel canto tenor, who's going to come and give us a recital that will include the second half, a notable group of African American spirituals.
Often you have focused on local talents too, and they've become favorites of the festival. I believe Laurie Sims is back.
She'll be back every festival. She's going to help us celebrate the second anniversary, I should mention, which is. And I mentioned it before, is Bill Bolcom's 80th birthday year. And then equally important, this is the 100th year since Leonard Bernstein's birth. And we're going to celebrate that in various different ways. But it will include
a multimedia retrospective.
Yes.
Including his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter will be here to narrate that, and along with a singer and two pianists and but lots of home movies of him. And it's called Late Night with Leonard Bernstein, because he was known by anyone who ever encountered him to be a night owl and somebody who kind of came to life. He would still be playing the piano and telling stories at 4 o'clock in the morning when everyone else was tottering off. That'll be fun. I think that will be fun. We're also playing, of course, some of his music. Bill Sharlup, the wonderful jazz pianist, is bringing his trio here to do their takes on some of the Leonard Bernstein songs.
Is there such a thing as festival burnout? Can one see too many concerts? I've seen you attend several a day for days on end. So,
not for me, there isn't. I've never found myself burned out. I'm a little tired after the festival, but then. That's to be expected. It's something which comes only to every 2 years, and people, I think, feel the need to take advantage of it while it's here.
Yeah,
it's a great time to take a vacation and actually just do nothing but attend concerts. So,
well, I'm going to ask for your final thoughts today about the Gilmore Artist and about the upcoming festival as we head into our top of the hour newscast from NPR. Curtis, maybe you could send people back toward
to go to thegilmore.org. Tickets are available online. They're also available by calling the box office at 269-359-7311 or come in person on Saturday from 10 to 2. We're also there Monday through Friday as well from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m.
And this will be your first festival.
This will be my first festival. I'm excited. I've been a fan for many years and attended many of the festivals, looking at seeing it from the other side.
And Dan, final thoughts?
Well, this will be my last festival, as director anyway, or director emeritus now, but it won't be my last festival because Barbara, my wife, and I are remaining in this community, and I hope to attend many Gilmore concerts in the future without having to worry about backstage shenanigans and transportation and how we're going to pay for this and all that. I should mention, by the way, that we can do the festival at this level and with relatively modest ticket prices because of local sponsors, both businesses and individuals and foundations that help us underwrite these concerts and make them affordable. And we're very grateful for that. And people here locally should know that.
And the concentration of talent in this festival is mind-blowing. And also the fact that it would cost so much more to go see these artists in the major capitals of the world that it's hard to excuse not taking advantage of it. Again, Dan and Curtis, thanks so much for joining me here this morning, and you're both welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Let's hear a little more Bach. This is Igor Levitt taking us to the news from NPR here on WMUK Kalamazoo.